In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us, St. Januarius, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are on volume 27, 11-10-1929. My daughter, courage. And these are the words of Pope Benedict when he became Pope. You must be courageous in these times. John Paul II's message when he was made Pope was, do not be afraid. And Pope Benedict has been, you have to have courage. These are two things that are necessary today, because it's a confusing time for most people, and God is going to win. If we are with Jesus, there's nothing to worry about. If we're with the Holy Church, there's nothing to worry about. God is going to take care of his little ones. So he says, it is true that you are too little, but you must know. So this is a book that's was put together. You must know. When you read the You Must Know book, Jesus says, to understand the divine will, you have to understand this. That in my divine will, only the little ones enter to live in its divine light. And that every act of these little ones, little children of the holy divine will, that they do in my divine will, they suffocate their own human will, giving a sweet death to the human will, because in my most holy divine will, there is no room nor any place to let the human will operate. The human will has no reason or right. It loses its value before a divine will, reason and right that are divine. So here Jesus is telling us exactly what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. If you want to know a little bit more about divinization, this book here, Called to be Children of God, is a great understanding of what the divine will is all about. It's a new beginning that's coming. And our God is saying the human will, the human volition, has no reason or right to be in charge. That's what happened when Adam committed the original sin. And he says, no, it has to lose its value for every human. It's the worst song in the world is I Did It My Way. That's a horrible song. It loses its value before a divine will. The reason, and divine right is what has to happen. So this is what God is offering to us. He's offering us to begin to live this abundant life. And as we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, you become more peaceful, joyful, and happy. Why? You begin to live heaven on earth. You begin to sing and praise God and glorify God and worship God as the saints and angels in heaven do right now. This is what God is asking. He says, are you willing to give up the human in order to embrace the divine? And when people say, well, I'm only human, that's not true. We are called to share in divinity. Listen to what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. Are you willing to share in divinity? Are you willing to give your fiat to that? Well, if that's true, then you have to learn a new way. And the new way is the oldest way. It's the way Adam lived before the fall. It's the way Jesus lived. It's the way Mary lived, the new Adam and the new Eve, which they gave to Louisa. This is what God is looking for. So, volume 27, 1-7-1930. My daughter, every time you would like to give me the gift of your human will, I, God, accept it as a new gift. So every morning when you wake up and you do your prevenient act and then your actual acts throughout the day, and say, I want to do this in the divine will. Jesus says, I accept it as a brand new gift. Every heartbeat, every breath. Because I leave the human will in its free will. In such a way that the creature can be in the act of giving it to me always. So here Jesus is showing us that the human will has to give way to the divine will. So he says, your free will choose to live in the human will or to live in God's divine will? Which way do you want to live? And then it says, in such a way that the soul can be in the act of giving it to me always, every second, every breath, every heartbeat. Jesus says this, and I, God, accept it as many times for as many as the soul gives it to me, because the soul sacrifices herself as many times for as many as she gives me the gift of it. Lord, I want you to breathe in my breathing. And you take a deep breath. It's not my breath anymore. I want you, Lord, to breathe in my breathing. I want you, Lord, to beat in my heart beating. I want you, Lord, to walk in my walking. I want you, Lord, to dance in my dancing. Whatever you're doing, Lord, I want you to reign in me completely, completely. I want to be in your image and likeness. Volume 28, 2, 22, 1930. Now, wherever there has been a death of good, the sacrifice of life is required in order to make the destroyed good rise again. So Jesus, the other book that you should read, and it's wonderful, is Luisa and the Resurrection. We gave a copy of this to Jim Caviezel, because they're going to do the movie on the resurrection. What does it mean to be resurrected? Jesus says this to Luisa. I rose from the dead so that you can rise from the dead before you die. Think about that. To begin to live in the kingdom before you die. To live on earth as the saints live in heaven. He says if you wait until you die to be resurrected, you're going to wait a long time. He says, but if you die to your ego and your will now and rise from that, he says, you're embracing why I died and rose from the dead now. So you don't, a lot of people, like Jesus said this, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you are anticipating hell. You're living hell right now. If you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, where is the Jesus I trust in you? Where's that hope, that Christian hope, that certitude? Where Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. It's not there. So Jesus says, if you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, why? Trusting in God, believing in God, hoping in God. Jesus, I trust in you. The final, John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II gave us Sister Faustina and the Divine Mercy. Why? Because he heard what Jesus told her. The final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I return is Divine Mercy. So Jesus, I trust in you. Why? The kingdom's coming. This is how we have to live. We have to live with total trust, total confidence, not in the bad news of the news industry, but the good news. The good news is Jesus was crucified, died, and rose from the dead. And he says, now I want you to begin to live this abundant life. So this, he says, this is why, justly and wisely, whenever I, God, wanted to renew the world, and to give a good to the creatures, I have requested the sacrifice of life, as I asked of Abraham, the sacrifice of sacrificing to me his only son, that indeed he carried out, and prevented by me, he stopped. And the sacrifice that cost Abraham more than his own life. What happened? A new generation rose again, in which the divine liberator and redeemer was to descend. Because Abraham said yes to God, the Redeemer could come. But he had to make the sacrifice. Now, each and every one of us have to have a sacrifice of Abraham. We have to give up what we love, what we earthly love. And it doesn't mean the death of a son. But what it means is you give up to God what is God's. As Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's sacrifice. He says, Abraham was to make the good that had died rise again. With the passing of time, I allowed the sacrifice and the great sorrow of Jacob for the death of his beloved son Joseph, even though he did not die. It was for him as if he had died in reality. This was the new call that made the celestial liberator rise again in that sacrifice of Jacob, whom it called to make the lost good arise again. So here, each and every one of us has to face that sacrifice, to be willing to say fiat. Each and every one of us has gone through it to a level or greater degree, depending on what sacrifice God has asked. But it's always to trust in God, to believe in God, to hope in God, to have confidence in God. Jesus, I trust in you. I don't understand this. I don't like it. But you ask for it, fiat. This is what God is looking for. Furthermore, I myself, by coming upon earth, wanted to die. But with the sacrifice of my death, I, God, called for the rising again of many lives and the good that the creature had caused to die. Okay, so the good that was caused to die was the image and likeness of God. And God wanted to restore that to us. So he took our place on the cross. What is crucified with Christ? Our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, and our sin. It doesn't belong to us anymore. It died on the cross with Jesus. This is the glory of the cross. This is the springtime of mankind. If you have a cross, kneel in front of it. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. The sacrifice is needed. And for those that haven't read Scripture, Jesus has given it to us right now. He says, I wanted to rise again in order to confirm the life for that good and the resurrection for what? The human family, to go back to where we were before the fall. What great crime it is to make good die, so much so that the sacrifice of other lives is required in order to make it rise again. There has to be that balance. There has to be that coming back to God. Now, with all my redemption and the sacrifice of my death, since my divine will does not reign yet, and not all good has risen again in the creature, we haven't gone back to be in God's image and likeness yet. Through holy baptism, we are in God's image. Now with this book of heaven, God is going to teach us how to enter into the likeness of God. My divine will is repressed, and it cannot carry out the divine sanctity that it wants. Good suffers from the intermittency, and now it rises again, now it dies, and my fiat remains with its continuous sorrow. Why? Of not being able to make rise again all the good that God wants to give to the souls, to the creatures. What's coming is the kingdom. How do we know this? Because what Jesus gave to Louisa. What Jesus gave to Louisa is the way and the how this is going to happen. You want to know the way and the how the kingdom is coming? Well, if you listen to The Dawn of a Mystery, the DVD by Archbishop Beccheri, he says it very clearly. There's no one in the history of the church who has ever told us how this is going to happen. And then he says, this is Louisa's job. And since the cause was completed October 29th, 2005, it's done. They presented to the Vatican, we believe Louisa should be canonized. Everything, and when you read the Book of Heaven, you begin to understand how and why God is going to do this. He has to. It's time. Jesus says this, and this is why I remained in the little host as sacrament. So why is Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament? I, God, departed for heaven, but I, God, remained on earth in the midst of creatures to be born, live, and die, though mystically, in order to make rise in each soul all the good that man, Adam, rejected by withdrawing, drawing from my divine will. So God is repairing and redoing. And that's what he's asking us to do, to repair and redo for our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, ourselves, to repair and redo continuously. Why? So that the kingdom can be established. And united to my sacrifice, I, Jesus, ask for the sacrifice of your life, Louisa. Why? To make its kingdom rise again in the midst of the human generations. And from each tabernacle, I am. He uses the name of God. I am. As though on the lookout to accomplish the work, the complete work, redemption and the fee of voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven. Content with sacrificing myself and dying in each host in order to make the son of my divine fiat, the new era in its full triumph rise again. Remember what John Paul II said, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. Upon departing from earth, I said, I go to heaven, and yet I remain on earth in the Holy Sacrament. I shall content myself with waiting for centuries, and he has. I know it shall cost me much unheard of outrages that shall not be lacking, maybe more than in my very passion, but I shall arm myself, listen to this, with divine patience from the little host. I shall accomplish the complete work. God wins. I shall make my divine will reign in the hearts and shall continue to remain in their midst to enjoy the fruits of so many sacrifices I, God, have been through. Therefore, Louisa, together with me, be united to the sacrifice for a cause so holy and for the just triumph that my divine will may reign and dominate on earth as it is in heaven. This is the whole book of heaven. You're going to learn to see from a divine perspective. See, our intellect, this is the power that God gave us, the three powers, intellect, memory, and will. Our intellect, we don't see things from a divine perspective. So the Holy Church teaches us through the dogma and doctrine. You begin to understand from a divine perspective, from Jesus' perspective, how to think, how to reason. Let's look at Humani Vitae. In 1969, what is human life? And humanity said, no, I'm not going to think this way. I'm not going to believe that. Everything has fallen apart since then. You don't want human life? Fine. God goes, I have abundant life that I want to give you. See, if we had learned to obey Humani Vitae, learned from these truths, what would have happened? We'd be living divine life now. But since we said no, God says, then you're going to learn it the hard way. You can do it the easy way, the hard way. My pastor used to say that. He used to say, you can do it the easy way, he said, or you can do it my way. He was always right. But this is, God has plans. So what is he trying to do? He's trying to get us awake. He's trying to get us to get ready for the triumph of the divine will, to reign in us, to be back in God's image and likeness. This is what God's got planned. 5:29, 5:16, 1931. See then what it means to do and to live in my divine will. Okay, so with our intellect seen from a divine perspective, you begin to understand the divine truths, the divine realities from the Holy Church. And Jesus knew that we'd be in this time, so he's giving us a shortcut, if you want to say, to understanding the teachings of the truth by the book of heaven. So that our memory is not about me. Oh, they said this about me. They did this against my family. They did this against my nation. No, it's to remember Jesus. So when you pray the Holy Rosary, what happens? You begin to see Jesus through the eyes, loving eyes of Mary. You begin to follow him as Our Lady followed him. Your memory doesn't become of, oh, me, but Jesus and Mary. And then finally, then your human will can be surrendered. You can say, you know, I'm seeing from a divine perspective. I'm understanding from a divine perspective with my intellect. My memory is being focused more and more on Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now I want my human will to be what God gave to Louisa. I want to begin to live this abundant life. So this is what God is doing with our three powers. He's changing them. And this is why he says, see what it means to do and to live in my divine will, to be under the empire of a creative and confirming divine strength that places all the acts of the creature in safety, rendering them immutable. So by living in my divine will, the soul shall remain confirmed in the good that she does, in the sanctity that she wants, in the knowledge that she possesses, in the triumph of the sacrifice. So it's all based on the sacrifice. No longer wanting, I mean, this is no longer wanting to kneel and say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. We don't want to live that fallen human nature anymore. We want, as Jesus says, listen to what he says. He says, to be under the empire of a creative and confirming strength. This is God that places all the acts of the creature in safety, rendered them immutable. It's not fallen human nature anymore. So by living in my divine will, the soul shall remain confirmed in the good that she does, the sanctity that she wants, in the knowledge that she possesses, in the triumph of the sacrifice. Now, we have to remember, none of us are there yet. This is what God gave to Louisa. And he's offering this to us. To enter into this life takes sacrifice. This is what he's saying. So he says this in Volume 29, 7:13, 1931. Now you must know, my daughter, that the passport in order to enter into my kingdom is the resolute will of never doing one's own human will, even at the cost of one's life and any sacrifice. This resolute act, but true, is like the signature that one puts on the passport in order to set off in the kingdom of my divine will. So this, you have to be resolute. You have to be firm in your intention. You have to, you know, what we say in confession, you want to avoid the near occasions of sin. Then you have to prove it. What are you addicted to? Is it chocolate? If you start drooling because of you thinking of chocolate, there is something wrong. There is something wrong. None of us should be drooling over the things of this earth. We should be drooling over the things of heaven. We should be desiring the things of heaven. So again, he says, this resolute act to avoid the near occasions of sin with a firm resolution, he says, is like the signature that one puts on a passport. Why? To set off for the kingdom. While the creature signs it in order to set off, God signs it in order to receive. So it's mutual. God gives, we receive. We sign and God accepts. You see, it's to go back to where God had Adam before the fall. It was a perennial communion with Adam. That's why Jesus said, I give you Holy Communion in the church today. It's to prepare you for the perennial communion that's coming back, where Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. This is what's coming back to mankind, to be one with God again. This isn't pious thought. This is what Jesus gave to Louisa. I think about it. The Archbishop of Trani says, we believe Louisa should be canonized. We believe this because of what we see, what God has shown her, how she lived her life. This latter signature shall have so much value that the whole of heaven shall go to meet the soul in order to receive her into the kingdom of the divine fiat in which they live now. And they shall be all eyes over Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa, who from earth holds as life and as the kingdom that same will, same divine will that they hold in heaven. It's to begin to live heaven on earth. There's no more worry. There's no more fear. There's no more anxiety. There's no more complaints. There's no more negativity and no more doubts and eventually no more sin. So as you work on this, the sacrifice, this is the sacrifice. You're not going to be a miserable human being. You're going to be so peaceful, joyful, and happy. Jesus is there. Jesus is gazing in your gazing, speaking in your speaking, beating in your heart beating, breathing in your breathing, listening in your listening. Jesus is there. This is what God planned from the beginning. Volume 30, 12, 21, 31. Even though the life, this divine life, has come out of us, triune God, the soul is yet free to stay or not stay in our divine fields. Okay. The soul is free to live heaven on earth or not. And she loses, she sacrifices her human freedom. And in our divine will, she takes the divine freedom. Your human freedom is basically to sin or to turn to God. And when you turn to God, you lose the freedom to sin. This is what he's saying. She loses. She sacrifices her human freedom to sin. And in our divine will, she takes the divine freedom to live. To live what? As life. She lives in our fields, our oceans, without boundaries. To begin to live heaven on earth. You know, this is the thing that will so astonish you. That as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, Jesus begins. You see, what we've learned from the saints is black and white and two-dimension. The saints taught us this, to begin to see what God wants us, to do the will of God. What Jesus teaches Louisa is three-dimensional and technical. And that's why at first, when people read Louisa, they don't understand it because it's the language of heaven. And a lot of people go, Louisa will talk about yellow. And the people go, you mean gray. Then Louisa will talk about red, the color red. And you mean gray. Then Louisa will talk about the color blue. And they go, you mean gray. Because they haven't, the switch, if you want to see, of technicolor hasn't happened. And as you're reading, as you're studying this, you begin to go, oh, I understand what Jesus is saying. Oh, that's so simple. That's so beautiful. See, this book is not for theologians. This book is for children. And what God wants to do is bring us back to where we were before Adam sinned. And then that's the whole story. Jesus says that when a child falls into a well, the parents are very upset. How? We got to help. We got to get this child out of the well. And they redeem the child. But they're still upset. Wow, the child is still broken and bleeding. But what Jesus now wants is, I want to bring you back to where you were before the fall, not broken and bleeding. That's where we are today. He has redeemed us. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ. But now God wants to bring us back to where we were before the fall of Adam. This is the whole reason for the Book of Heaven. No, there's no other book like this. Jesus says that. So he says this. Volume 32, 16, 1932. It takes more sacrifices to form something. For then it is easy to put out. But in order to form it, it takes someone who would lay down his own life and the sacrifice of a human will sacrificed with continuous acts in mind. That's what Louisa did. That's what Louisa did. Jesus says everything's completed. Now it needs to be known. Now it needs to be known. People look at this, they go, I'm not going to do it. I can't go without food for 60, 70 years. No, Louisa did that. This is what's going to astonish the world. Everyone, he says this in the last chapter of volume 25, no, last chapter of 24. He says that everyone will become Catholic. Why? They're going to see what this universal life is all about. This universal life that Adam lost is going to be given. Great things are coming. They're going to be given to the world. And then the world has a choice to accept it or not accept it. Right now, God is giving us a free tour of what's happening. And he's saying, get ready. As Our Lady said in the book, Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. I mean, that's what everybody's thinking. There's only one person that's afraid. That's the devil and his minions. They're not going to be here. They can't be here. They've already chosen not to be with God. The kingdom is coming. And we know that the evil one was kicked out of the kingdom of heaven. And when heaven comes to earth, he's going to be kicked out of here. So what is he doing? He's making everybody panic. John Paul II said clearly, Jesus, I trust in you. Do not be afraid. Cardinal, Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict said, he says, be courageous. This is what's coming is glorious. And there's only one person that's upset. And he's getting out of here. Why? The kingdom is coming. So Jesus is saying to us, you want to know what this is about? Read, study, put this into practice, and you will be ready. So Jesus is saying to us in volume 30, 327, 1932, my blessed daughter, the conditions, absolute, necessary, of the highest importance that form the life and the nourishment in order to ensure the kingdom of my divine will are, number one, to ask of the creature great sacrifices. That's what they did with Louisa. The proximity, the long sacrifice, therefore, our goodness, by virtue of the sacrifice it asks, must give surprising graces to the one of whom this sacrifice is asked. We're going to see surprising things through Louisa Picaretta. Surprising things through Louisa. In such a way that to the creature, captivated by my divine love and my divine gifts, by my divine graces, the sacrifice that I, God, asked of Louisa shall seem nothing, even though she knows that her life on earth is ended. You're going to recognize that these, what Jesus has given to Louisa, is not an apparition or a vision or a locution. That's for the saints. What Jesus gives to Louisa is something that the church is going to have to describe. And I can't wait to hear what it is. This is why her life has ended. You know, when I visited her house, I said this once before, you know, we looked at her clothing and her socks were dirty and had holes on the bottom of her feet. And I said, you know, the poor lady, she didn't walk anywhere. She's in bed and they give her these ratty socks. I said, what's wrong with these people? Well, come to find out that she toured all of the universe with Jesus every day, basically. And to prove it, when they came in the morning, back when Louisa woke up in the morning, basically, it had to be a priest there to wake her up. That's a whole other story. But her socks were filthy and she holes on her inner socks. You have to understand, when we begin to understand who Louisa is, it's going to knock our socks off. That's all I can say. This is a This is amazing. So Louisa shall no longer have any right over herself. All the rights shall belong to the one, this is God, who is asking for Louisa's sacrifice. Again, if she did not know all the intensity of the sacrifice that she is accepting, it would not have all the value. And the more one knows the greatness, the weight of the sacrifice, the more value is placed in it. Think about that. You have a love for chocolate. And you're drooling because you love the chocolate. The more one knows the greatness, the weight of the sacrifice, the more value is placed in it. So to say to God, I'm going to give this up. Why? For the glory of God, the salvation of souls, for the kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven, to be one with Louisa, to be one with Jesus and Mary. God goes, okay, you know what this is going to do. You love chocolate. And St. Francis gave up cookies, the cookies that St. Clair used to make for him. And he loved those cookies. And when he was dying, they said, Francis, would you like some cookies from St. Clair? And he goes, yes, let me have that. I'm dying. Why not? I can have. He bit the cookie and he started laughing. And they said, why are you laughing? He says, that which I delighted in is mere sand today. He's free of it. He was free of the love of these cookies. And that's what God is going to do. He's going to show us that what we love on earth is just mere sand. It's nothing compared to that abundant life that God is going to bring. Knowledge places the exact and complete value in the sacrifice. On the other hand, for one who does not know well all this, the weight of the sacrifice, how diminished are the value, the grace, the good that the soul must obtain. So again, he wants us to have the fullness of value, fullness of grace, fullness of good. But if we don't understand what we're doing, we won't have that value. So this is why God, again, has given us the book of heaven. He's given us the book of heaven so that we can begin to see from a divine perspective. And then our love remains wounded. Our power feels powerless before a creature of whom we ask great sacrifices, making her know the weight to which she must submit. And she, this is Louisa, only for love of us, to fulfill our divine will, Louisa accepts everything. So the closer we get to Louisa, the better it's going to be for us. She understood what she was doing. When she was like 17, Jesus said, go to bed and stay there. She said she could walk. She went to bed and stayed there. Then later on, Jesus said, stop eating. So she stopped eating. Stop drinking. So she stopped drinking. Stop sleeping. So she stopped sleeping. Who of us could have done that? I get a sliver and I start, I make sure everybody knows that this sliver is in my finger. We have found this little newborn, Louisa Picaretta, who really, God chose her to go through great sacrifices, and she accepted it. She accepted it. The proximity sacrifice, which brings proximity of prayer, and oh, how our ears become all attentive. See, Louisa's, her continuous prayer makes God attentive. Our divine gazes remain enraptured. God is enraptured in seeing that from within the stake of the sacrifice wanted by us, Louisa prays. And what does she ask? What does she yet want? What we triumph, God want ourselves. Heaven and earth upside down. What we ourselves want, that our divine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. She knows this is what God wants. And we have to begin to understand this is what God wants, the fulfillment of the Our Father. And if she could, she would turn heaven and earth upside down. She would want everything in her power to make everyone ask for what Louisa wants, so that her sacrifice may obtain the intent and bring the fruit wanted by God. Our paternal goodness is such that it is impossible for us, triune God, not to grant the purpose of a long sacrifice of a proxilious prayer. Knowledge can be called the beginning, the void, the seed in which to place the sacrifice. So again, what our Lord is trying to do is he's trying to make us become aware to see from a divine perspective what is needed. And our things, our divine things, and make the beautiful prayer arise that deliberates the triune God and chains us, triune God, with chains, with inseparable bonds, and makes us grant what Louisa wants, a human. See, Adam was a human. Adam wasn't the son of God, wasn't the mother of God. But it took the Son of God and the Mother of God to redeem the earth. Now Jesus has found a soul that he can give back to this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, back to humanity through a human. This is why Jesus calls her the newborn, the firstborn in the divine will. More so, since our divine will being life and work that gives life to everything and to everyone in order to come to reign upon earth, it wanted on the part of the human family one life of creature, Louisa, basically, at its disposal, that without opposing would remain at the mercy of its divine will, that it might do with Louisa whatever God wants, whatever the divine will wanted. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? This shall serve it as prompt and condition in order to ensure the kingdom on the part of creatures. Because of this human, Louisa, who's been given the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the divine will, now all mankind can have this if they wish, if they want. Remember Louis de Montfort, he said, the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. This is what's coming. It's a new beginning for mankind, and it's the oldest gift. It's the gift that God gave to Adam. It's to be sanctified. It's to truly share in divinity. This is what God is looking for. This is what God wants. Volume 36, 26, 1932. I was making my round of the divine will to trace everything it had done so as to make its act my own and be able to say, I was and I am with you, Lord, and I do what you do. Remember, Jesus said, you'll do far greater things than I. How can we do far greater things than God? It's in the divine will. Why? We're going to learn how to pray our rounds. This is the way Jesus prayed. This is the way Mary prayed, to trace everything that God has done so as to make its acts my own. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus breathes in our breathing, and it's our own. I remember this mystic who God gave him the glorified body. And he gave it for him for the day, and he recognized, he looked at his arm and it was glowing. It was a bluish glow. He could see the arteries, he could see the veins, the bones, the muscles, the tendons as he's looking at his arm. And he said to Jesus, why am I so happy? And Jesus said to him, because we are looking at ourselves. See, Jesus wants us to share in his divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass. You can't believe what's coming. It's to go back to where we were before the fall. That's why Our Lady said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. This era is over. The new era has begun. And that was 40 days after Louisa died. Now think about that. 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. 40 days after Louisa died, Our Lady came to earth. to Rome and talked to Bruno and said, time has now come to an end. We have to understand, because of Luisa, great things are going to happen. Great things are coming. I'll just tell you that. It's a great time to be alive. Okay, so no trace. Let's see. I was making my round of the divine will. We're going to have to learn how to pray the rounds to trace everything the divine will has done. Why? To make it an its act my own. To be able to say, I was and I am with you, Lord God Almighty, and I do what you do. So what is mine is yours. What the saints have done by virtue of you is also mine, because you are the font that spreads everywhere and produces all goods. And while I was going around, making her rounds, I reached the point of the history of the world when God asked of Noah the sacrifice of building the ark. 100 years he built that ark, being mocked and ridiculed by everyone. And I offer that sacrifice as if it were my own, to ask why, for the kingdom of the divine will on earth. But while I was doing this, blessed Jesus making me pause at the point of history, told me, my daughter, all the good of the history of the world is founded upon the sacrifice that is wanted of creatures by my supreme will. And the greater the sacrifice that we ask of the soul, the more good we enclose in it. And we ask for these great sacrifices because of their sins, because they deserve that the world be destroyed. Now he's talking about the time of Noah. Making the new life of the creature come out from when the sacrifice in the place of the destruction. And then he says, now you must know. This goes back to that book. You must know that at the point of the history of the world, creatures deserve to exist no more. They were interbred with the Nephilim. Their DNA was changed. That's basically what the shots are all about. You have to understand what's coming. Jesus said it will be like in the time of Noah. All should have perished. Noah, by acting, by accepting our mandate and by exposing himself to the great sacrifice for so many years of building the ark, 100 years, brought back to the world and all the future generations. Because of his obedience, his sacrifice, mankind was saved. As he went on, sacrificing himself for the so prolixious time of hardship, toil, of sweat, so did he pull out the coins, not of gold or silver, but of his whole being, an act of following our divine will. In this way, he put in enough coins to be able to buy back what was about to be destroyed. I just looked at the time. Sorry about that. Well, so we'll end there. We'll be back in 10 minutes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.